Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
With Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. He's traveling. He's in the Holy Land. We're very pleased to welcome Matthew Levitt, former Wexler Senior Fellow at the Washington Institute, to help us understand the Iran threat, the scale of it. Right now, we're waiting for a decision made in Jerusalem about a counterstrike, and yet there's much more to worry about, I learned from Matthew, because most recently he's telling us about the WMD in Iran that is not only nuclear weapon, question marks. Tehran's tactical knockout, weaponized pharmaceutical-based agents. Matthew, good evening to you. What pharmaceutical-based agents? This is chemical warfare, is that correct?
Yes. John, Malcolm, thank you both for having me back on the program. So look, it turns out that for years, Iran has been developing what's called pharmaceutical-based agents for use as chemical warfare agents. So this is not like mustard gas. This is actually what we call dual-use chemicals that can be used for a variety of purposes in medical purposes, veterinary purposes, dental purposes. They can be used to develop things that can knock people out by law enforcement, tear gas, etc. But these particular pharmaceutical-based agents are being used, many of them fentanyl-based, to knock people out. So you recall several years ago, there was an incident at a theater in Moscow, and the authorities there took out the kidnappers and freed many of the hostages by pumping gas into the theater. Well, not only did the kidnappers die, many of the hostages died by inhaling these pharmaceutical-based agents, a fentanyl-based compound. After that, the Iranians really picked up the pace of developing them themselves, and they appear to have transferred some of these to some proxies and partners in Iraq and in Syria. And it turns out, took a lot of research to put this all together, but it turns out both Israel and the United States have been increasingly worried about this and reporting it to the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons in The Hague. The G7 made a statement that you wouldn't have seen if you knew to dig for it. And it's been something that's been brought up in international fora. The issue for today is, you know, the Israelis went into southern Lebanon largely to prevent the threat of a Hezbollah cross-border October 7th style raid, so that the 60,000 plus Israelis displaced from their homes for a year could go back home. This is something that authorities were really concerned Iran might provide, or might have already provided, to Hezbollah, and Hezbollah might use to knock out IDF soldiers on the border, kidnap those bodies, be able to cross over past those soldiers and penetrate into Israeli communities. And so that's why I took the time to investigate this. It took some doing. The chemical weapons issues are difficult to research. Most people don't want to talk about them. But it turns out that if you had enough people pointing you to stuff that's hidden on the internet, or not on the internet, but available in the public domain, but not classified, you can pull it all together. And I was glad to be able to do it here.
Malcolm?
So, I mean, this is such a complex and scary issue. I'm wondering whether this ties into a subject we have discussed on this program about the network of criminal gangs and terrorist operations, obviously, that Iran has been associating with, including in Mexico, and for the transport of drugs, fentanyl, and other things that they have brought into our country and around the world. Does this tie into that network? Would they be supplying these kind of chemical weapons through these groups to bring them against the countries they are antagonistic to?
I don't think so. This is a very tactical tool. And it really is about knocking out large groups of protesters, which is how it was used in Iraq by Iraqi Shia proxies there, similarly by the Assad regime. And there's great concern about how terrorist groups could use it. Nobody needs Iran's help in getting fentanyl and other stuff into Mexico and from Mexico into the United States. That is a separate problem. There's really more of a Mexico-China issue than it is an Iran issue. Now, Iran has been very involved in international operations, in particular intimidation, assassination, abduction plots around the world. The head of MI5 just this week said that the Brits have thwarted 20 such plots. The Swedish intelligence service has been reporting Iranians recruiting criminals to throw explosives at the Israeli embassy there and in Denmark. I have an interactive map that I put on the Washington Institute's website, washingtoninstitute.org, of these activities around the world. And that is also something that is very much on the uptick.
Matthew, you're the author of Hezbollah, the Global Footprint of Lebanon's Party of God. Therefore, I ask a general question. How badly is Hezbollah hurt? How many years will it take for them to reconstitute?
John, I think a lot of commentators have mistakenly referred to this as a decapitation strike. Decapitation to me is when you take out the leader like Hassan Nasrallah, as they did, maybe one or two others. Here, the Israelis have taken out entire rows of leadership in their hierarchy. The top, the first full row, the second, the third, the fourth, and on down. This is not a decapitation strategy. This is open heart surgery. The Hezbollah that we knew 2 weeks ago does not, and I believe will not exist, at least for many years. It will only have any chance to exist if we fail to take the opportunity coming out of all this to make it much harder for Iran to rearm and refund its proxies. That includes, by the way, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in the Gaza Strip. I'd thrown the Houthis there. None of them could be the threats, anywhere near the threats that they are, were it not for the Iranian money and weaponry. What the Israelis have done is really three things. One, taken out huge, huge numbers of the highest leaders, the most experienced people, including, by the way, people who are involved in the deaths of Americans. I know people in the U.S. intelligence community who are doing a jig over the deaths of people like Fuad Shukr, Ibrahim Akil, who killed Americans in the 1980s. The second is taking out many of Hezbollah's strategic rockets, precision-guided missiles, medium- and long-range missiles. We don't know how much. The New York Times reports as much as 50%, according to U.S. and Israeli officials. I'd like to believe that's true. I fear maybe it's higher than it actually is. But no matter what number it is, it's big. And hopefully what they have targeted successfully is more of those strategic rockets than the short-range rockets. And I think that probably is the case.
Malcolm, we have a minute.
Yeah, a quick question about the international community's responsibility. Do you think the Russian, Iranian, North Korean, China alliance will play a role here? Do you think that that will help spread internationally the capacity and chemical weapons? And is there any role that the UN or anything else could play, unlikely as it may be, in countering this?
Don't expect bad actors to change their spots, which is why people are still pointing to UN Security Council Resolution 1701, which ended the 2006 war, was never enforced, allowed Hezbollah to rearm and redeploy to the south in direct violation of the Security Council resolution. That's what people are still pointing to, because they expect that China and Russia would not allow an updated resolution today. So what we need to do moving forward is make sure that we all get together, the coalition of the willing, the U.S., Israel, the Europeans, and make it much more difficult for Iran in particular to rearm and refund its proxies.
Matthew Levitt is the Frommer Wexler Senior Fellow, Washington Institute, Director of the Jeanette and Ellie Reinhardt Program on Counterterrorism and Intelligence. Again, his book on Hezbollah, The Global Footprint of Lebanon's Party of God. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. He's in the Holy Land. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.